Glad we're presently trusting the Lord Jesus. Amen. Not just something I have done, it's something I am doing. Amen. Well, that ain't a helping none of y'all. Let's go to Mark chapter number 3. Mark chapter 3. I want to ask you this morning before I even read the text, would you really listen today? Would you really listen today? What I'm about ready to preach to you, I think is one of the more serious messages, serious doctrines in the Word of God concerning, especially concerning salvation. And I would be honored, and I think you would be benefited, all of us, if we would really make an extra effort this morning to pay attention to the lessons and the truths that we're going to cover today. And if you are saved this morning, would you pray the Lord would do? I'm talking about a work that only the Spirit of God can do in this place. And it'd be sad to be sitting in this atmosphere week after week or opportunity after opportunity and never allow truth to penetrate your heart and the light, spiritual light now, light from God, enter into your mind. And you go through life and die in your sin and spend an eternity in hell. To me, that is very, very, a very sad, heartbreaking, burdensome thought. And if you would listen today as though your eternity is at stake, I believe that you would be benefited by that this morning. I'm going to give you the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give it to you straight from the Word of God. And it ain't my opinion, it's what God has said in His Word. And I beg of you this morning that you would listen and that you'd give consideration to what the Word and the Spirit of the Lord have to say. Verse 22, as we've made our way to this verse thus far, let's read down to verse number 30. The Bible said, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Verse 27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. I want you to pay very, very close attention to verse 28. And verse 29, Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Verse 30, because they said, He hath an unclean spirit. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for the grace of God and the privilege we have in Jesus Christ to be called the children of the King. Lord, I'm aware this morning that in and of myself I am nothing. I'm unclean. I'm undone. And Lord, apart from you and the work that you've done in my life, I am deserving of and should be and would be in hell this morning. Lord, I'm grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord, who has made all the difference in my life. Thank you, Lord, for the day you came by my way. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you rescued me. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you changed my life and my destination for all eternity. Now, Lord, I pray for a few moments. Dear God, would you help us? Dear God, would you fill us, Lord, with unction and with power, Lord, to declare the truths that, Lord, are upon our heart, the burden of this text, Lord, the seriousness of this message. Lord, I pray, Lord, we cause all men and women and boys and girls to sit up and pay attention, Lord, as we just read, Lord, that this passage deals with the danger of eternal damnation. Lord, what a sad, sad place it would be in eternity, Lord, to sit, Lord, in a service like this and hear the message that, Lord, folk are getting ready to hear. And, Lord, yet wind up, Lord, eternally separated from the God of glory and Jesus' grace. And, Lord, the saving power of the gospel that is being offered to them today. Lord, I pray the Spirit of the Lord would have right away and arrange the atmosphere. Lord, in giving us unction and power, give us wisdom, Lord. Lord, give us wisdom, Lord, not just to preach what you've told us, but preach it how. That, Lord, you direct over the next, Lord, 40, 45 minutes, I pray that Jesus would be magnified. Lord, for all that you do, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We understand, as we have been emphasizing in the introduction of each of these messages in the recent verses that we've been studying, that Christ's ministry is now in full effect. He's well into now the beginning of his second year of public ministry, which is a part of his ministry where he is being brought to the masses. There are many folk being introduced to him. He's having a great influence and a great impact. With that ministry expanding and exploding in growth, that influence upon the region and the nation of Israel there in those days, we find that it brought some scrutiny upon himself. Last week we dealt with the scrutiny that was brought upon by his friends, and even some that maybe he had grown up with and folk that he had been acquainted with from early years of his childhood. According to verse number 21, that even some of his friends thought he was a crazy man and a fanatic for the way in which he had given himself to the will of God. We'll see in the end of this chapter later, maybe even on next week, and how that his own family began to think that he was even beside himself and had questions about the life and the ministry and the devotion of our Savior's life concerning how he had given himself to the will of God. In the verses that we've read this morning, we find the foes of Christ are now brought into the picture. These are not his friends. These are not his family. These are men of religious renown and of renown within the community. Men that have been successful and men that, amen, are admired within the social standing of the Jews in that day. They have made themselves the very foe and the very enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly life. We've seen them pop up in the previous texts and verses going back, even to chapter number 1, how they are reserved to embrace him and what he represents and what he has taught as it goes contrary to their very own religion. And so we find here that these foes have now come against Christ again in verse number 22 and bringing some indictments against Christ as to by what power, we'll deal with that in just a moment, by what power he is able to do the things that he has done. And in the course of this conversation, the course of this encounter and interaction between Christ and the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious folk, Christ leads them into this matter that verse 29 says is a matter of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And Christ said in verse 28, he said, I want you to understand, amen, that I can forgive all sin. And if a man by faith, repenting of his sin, will come to me, amen, it doesn't even matter if he's blasphemed the Son of God. It doesn't matter, my friend, if he has insulted myself. Amen. Jesus said all sins can be forgiven. Amen. Somebody said, well, how in the world can somebody be saved? and has blasphemed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and in verse number 12. Let me read it to you so I get it right. And 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and in verse number 12. Amen. Paul said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And so Paul said, there's a time in my life, amen, I was injurious to the cause of Christ. I was a blasphemer against the very name of the Son of God. Amen. But Paul said, when I confess my sin and acknowledge my sin, that, amen, in ignorance and in unbelief, I had been doing these things with. Amen. Truth was given to me and revelation was given to me. I responded to that conviction and turned to Christ. He said, I obtained mercy. And in obtaining mercy, Paul's life was saved. And Paul's sin was forgiven. And so Jesus said, in speaking of a man's need of forgiveness for sin, he says that all manner of sin can be forgiven. Ain't you thankful for that this morning? Amen. Some in this verse, these verses in these, amen, especially verse 29, he speaks of a particular, singular, eternal, and personal sin. That Jesus said, though all other manner of sin can be forgiven, there is one sin, Jesus said, that hath never forgiveness. And so there is one serious matter, amen, that will cause a man to wind up in eternal damnation. And if the Lord will help me, let me give you my thought and we'll jump right in the text and work our way down to the thought. I want to preach for a little while this morning on the sin that hath never forgiveness. The sin that hath never forgiveness. And some have called this the unpardonable sin. And there are other names by which it goes by. But Jesus plainly said, and there is a point in a man's relationship to God, the Spirit, that he can cross a line. He can so insult and aggravate the Holy Ghost that this man will never find forgiveness. And when a man crosses that line, when a man reaches that place, that man has sealed his eternal fate. Amen. And will spend an eternity in hell. Though he live 100 more years in this life. Amen. There is a sin that hath never forgiveness. Amen. Would you agree with me this morning that, amen, the very words of Christ bring into light. Amen. Whether we understand it all fully and completely or not today, amen, that matters really not to me, but would you at least agree with me on this? And what Christ is saying bears a soberness. Amen. There is a seriousness attached to what Christ is teaching. And you imagine committing, my friend, though Christ says, amen, you can commit murder and adultery and drunkenness and be a liar and a thief and a con man. And you commit all sorts of evil against God in breaking His law. And that all those things may be forgiven. That Christ said there is one sin and hath never forgiveness. I say today, amen, we better give consideration, amen, to what Christ is laying upon the minds of men this morning. There's a certain element, really a rather large element, that would say this sin cannot be committed in this dispensation of time. That this is a particular sin that it could only be committed in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this morning, I don't agree with that sentiment and that thinking. Amen. I believe there's probably more that, amen, we would even realize today that have committed, amen, this sin that hath never forgiveness. Amen. There are men and women and boys and girls here. Amen. Are people sitting in Baptist churches even this morning? amen, that have gone over the line of God's grace and sent away their day of grace. Their eyes have been blinded. Their heart has been willfully hardened. And their mind has been reprobated. Amen. And they have crossed the deadline that God has given to them as individuals. Amen. I believe we likely pass people every day. Amen. That have committed a sin that hath never forgiveness. And let me say this morning, I don't believe this is a sin that a child of God, amen, can commit. I hear folk, they come to me in the 20 years I've been pastoring, and they'll say, preacher, I know that I'm saved, but I'm afraid that I've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, my friend, if you've ever been saved, how in the world would you commit the unpardonable sin when Christ said, amen, when you commit this, you are in danger of eternal damnation. Amen. Oh, my friend, if you've ever been saved, amen, you cannot commit this sin. Amen. You may can, according to the Word of God, grieve the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may, and I may, quench the Holy Ghost, Seth. And you and I may even resist the Holy Ghost. Amen. But may I say, our soul will never be lost. Amen. If we have been saved. Amen. When we live a life of sin as God's children, there, amen, is chastening, there is correction. Amen. That if we do not repent of that sin, will result in a short-term life. And God will take us on to glory. And a child of God cannot commit a sin and have never forgiveness. We have been promised, amen, that all the sins a child of God could commit, amen, if we would confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the sin that had never forgiveness is a sin. It is a matter. It is something in the life of a sinner by which, amen, they cross a deadline. They reject God's grace one last and final time and seal their eternal state. Amen, in the damnation of hellfire. Amen, and so we're dealing with today the sin and hath never forgiveness. And let me say, I do not dare claim this morning, amen, to be an authority on everything that this means. Amen, and there are some that, amen, are far smarter than I am that, amen, have tried to explain it, and yet, amen, when I read what they write and I hear what they have preached, amen, it still leaves me with some questions. Amen, and so here's what I promise you this morning. And everything I give to you concerning my understanding of this is going to come straight out of the Word of God. No supposition, no. Amen, you're not, and I don't want you to come to me, amen, after I'm done and say, well, do you think? Oh, see, it don't matter what I think, and it don't matter what you think. Amen, you better confine yourself to what the Word of God says. Amen, amen. You say, well, are you sad? Amen, that you know who has committed the sin and have never forgiveness. I don't believe we know that. Amen. I don't believe you can know that no more that, amen, than any other man. This is something that, amen, than Christ knows, that, and the Spirit of God in particular knows. I have seen men that I thought there is no way they'll ever get saved. They have sinned away their day of grace. They're too steeped in sin, only to find the grace of God bring them out and rescue them. Amen. I've learned a long time ago to, amen, it ain't my job to judge this matter. It's my job to preach this matter. Amen. My job to warn folk not to fall into this matter. Amen. I ain't spiritual enough, and I ain't preaching anybody spiritual enough. Amen. They can run around and label folk, amen, as being of a reprobate mind and being guilty of a sin that had never forgiveness. Amen. This is spiritual, eternal things that, amen, we just simply warn men, don't go too far. And it's something that Christ and the Holy Ghost is aware of. Say amen. Amen. If you come to me and say, well, I know, I'm going to call you a liar because you don't know. Amen. Leave the secret things that belong to God with God. Amen. Amen. And so I'm not preaching today as one that is indicting anyone. I'm preaching as one today. Amen. With a burden and prayerfully the same burden that Christ had for these who were His enemies. And He was concerned about them. He was worried about, amen, their continued rejection of the revelation they had been given of Himself by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The testimonies and the witness, amen, that was going on all around them that Christ indeed, amen, was the Son of David. He was the Son of God. Amen. He was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. And yet they resisted and rejected that. Amen. Our burden today is for those who have heard the gospel. You have heard gospel preaching. You have been invited by a man of God. You have been stirred by the Holy Ghost of God. And you've heard the testimonies of the children of the Lord. And yet you remain resistant. Amen. To that is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. I dare say, I dare give you a warning today. Be careful that you don't commit the sin that hath never forgiveness. Amen. What we're preaching today, you won't hear this in most churches. Amen. But I say it's right today. I say we better take heed. Let me give you some things, and we may deal with this all day today. I've done got carried away. Notice with me, amen, in this text now, I want to show you three truths here in these verses about Christ teaching on the one sin. The one sin, and hopefully by the end of tonight, amen, we will show you what, amen, what that would look like and what that would be. And where that line is drawn according to the text this evening, the one sin that hath never forgiveness. Notice with me in the text that I see the pronouncement about Christ. The foes of Christ proclaim Him to be in league with the forces of hell. Amen. The Bible begins, this section of verse says, by the scribes declaring He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out devils. And so we find that their proclamation or their estimation, or at least what they are trying to say about Christ, is that He hath Beelzebub. Amen. Beelzebub is that that deity, that spirit deity, or that demonic spirit that is known as the Lord of the Flies. And they worship flies within this culture. And there was a sect of occultic type practice that involved the worship of the Lord of the Flies, the Lord of Maggots. What they're saying about the Son of God, amen, is they are esteeming Him, His life, His miracles, His power, His message to be that of dung where the maggots, amen, or bread, and where the maggots come from and the flies come from. They're making an insult against the Son of God. According to verse number 30, the last verse in the verses we've read today, amen, this was the cause for such serious teaching that Christ is doing. Amen. Notice again, verse 30, because they said this is the reason He's warning them about committing a sin that hath never forgiveness. Because they said He hath an unclean spirit. Amen. So their proclamation has everything to do with what they have said. It's interesting that And when you began to study in Matthew chapter number 12, and when Matthew begins to record this, Brother Tim, he gives far more details. And the Lord said a whole lot more than what the Spirit of the Lord had Mark to record. Amen. I found it interesting. I'd never put this together before. Amen. But when you study Matthew's account, how many of y'all know the verse? Amen. In the New Testament that says that we are going to give an account of every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth. Do you understand that verse and that warning is in connection with the scene that we're reading about today? As though the Lord is saying, you better be careful what you say. Amen. A proclamation that they have made concerning their estimation of the Son of God. Amen. Let me bring this matter, this pronouncement down for us this morning. I see the provoking of this pronouncement. If you'll go back again to Matthew 12, I won't take the time this morning. Amen. But all of this is predicated, Brother Mark. Amen. He is there. He's ministering. He is serving in verse 21. He's dealing with his friends. He's fellowshipping with his disciples. And there are crowds that are coming for miracles in the midst of all of that. Matthew said there was one brought to him possessed of a devil. And that one possessed of a devil, he was deaf and he was dumb. When Jesus got done with him, amen, the Bible said the dumb man could talk, amen, and the deaf man could hear. And when all of that was done before the people, Matthew 12 and in verse number 23, here's what the crowd that observed that said, Brother Jack, they said, is not this the son of David? Is not this the son of David? You know what they were saying by that statement? This is the one promised that would be our king. This is the one God promised to send to be our deliverer. Amen. They were giving witness at Christ in dealing with this one possessed of a devil. Indeed was God come down in the flesh. Amen. What provoked this pronouncement of the scribes is they did not like what the people were saying. Now they're provoked, amen, to give a different answer. Amen, they're provoked to give a different message. They're being provoked, amen, to try to downplay who Jesus Christ really is. And I say today, we hear these sorts of pronouncements, amen, throughout our culture all the time. Our thoughts that are provoked about who Jesus is. Amen. May I remind you, He is the Son of David. He is the Son of God. He is the eternal Word manifest in the flesh and sent down to come and dwell among us. And yet, my friend, you can find, amen, you can find them a dime a dozen throughout our culture who downplay who Jesus really is. There's some that bring him down, amen, to the scope of man. There's some that pronounce him, I mean, nothing more than some random deity than what, maybe one that is of even the devil. Amen, they are provoked because they do not like who others are saying Jesus is. Amen. Notice the people of this pronouncement. It's interesting. And our text verse says they are the scribes. We believe these, Brother Mike, to be the scribes of the Pharisees. They have been sent and come down from Jerusalem. These are the up and the ups. This is those that, amen, have the Word of God. A scribe was one that whose job was exactly what their name implies. They would scribe or write the Word of God. Amen. They would write it down upon manuscripts, and they were students of the Word of God. Amen. These were those that should have known the truth. These are those that have been exposed to the Word of God. Amen. This is the same crowd Jesus looked at one day and said, you need to search the Scriptures again, or in them you think that you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Amen. This crowd have become so religious and so steeped in their way of living. Amen. That they make this pronouncement. Amen. That downplays the Son of God. Amen. What a sad, sad state for somebody to be that close to the truth. And make a 180 degree turn away from the truth so they can remain in their lifestyle, remain in their sin. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. This is a crowd that should have known better. Paul said, amen, I was a blasphemer. I was injurious. I was one that was a persecutor. Amen, but Paul said, did you catch what he said? I obtained mercy, amen, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. This matter of a sin that have never forgiveness, amen, listen, this is committed. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself. I really drive this home tonight. Amen. But this is committed by people who willfully turn away from the grace of God. They're not in the dark. They're not in the night. They've been warned. They've been told. They have seen the light from a distance. The light has shined upon their head. And they know what they are. They know what God has said about them. They know what they need to do. And yet, amen, they get that close to the truth and turn away from it. Amen. Amen. It'll pick up here in a little while. Amen. John, I said 40 or 45 minutes. It may be 4 hours. Amen. John chapter number 9 and verse number 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Ain't that interesting? John 9:40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, listen now, are we blind also? Do you think that we're blind? Notice what Jesus said, verse 41, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. In other words, when they asked the question, it wasn't a question. Amen. It was on their behalf, a rhetorical question. Amen. Are we blind also? What they're saying, Debbie, is we're not blind. We're not blind. And Jesus said, you have just testified against yourself. If you were blind and did not truly know your sin and what it was and what God required in light of that sin, amen, then, amen, you would be in ignorance, he said, but because you say we see, your sin remaineth. Can I say this morning, the scribes and the people of this pronouncement, they were not in the dark. They were not, my friend, in ignorance. They had plainly heard what Christ had said. And plainly they heard him preach in the synagogue. Everybody else in town had heard. And yet they are turning away from the truth. They are turning away from what they have read. They are turning away from what they know. Amen. What a sad, sad place to be. You do understand the Word of God, and I understand the context of what I'm quoting, but the Word of God says, to whom much is given, much is required. There is a statement in the Word of God that it would be better for you to have never heard the truth. Be exposed to the truth. It would have been better, and don't take this wrong today. I'm glad you come. I'm glad that you're here. But spiritually, it would be better for you to have never darkened the doors of the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle today. Amen. And to hear what you're hearing right now, because there is coming a day that every sinner is going to stand before the Lord. Amen. And for you to have been given so much light and truth and yet say, I do not want that. Amen. Do you understand that, my friend, you are in great trouble with your Creator? Yes, the people of this pronouncement, let me say a word about this. Something the Holy Ghost showed me. I may end right here. I ain't going to get off the first point. But notice with me the pretense of the pronouncement. But Bob, there's something very, very interesting. The Holy Ghost has shed some light on about this pronouncement they make. What are they saying? Well, let's back up. What is the crowd saying? They're saying, is not this the Son of David? Is this not the one God promised He would send to deliver us? Scribes say, wait a minute. He hath Beelzebub. He's of the devil. Say, pretense, preacher, what do you mean? I don't believe they believed a word of that. I believe they knew better than what they were saying. I believe, Van, this morning I can take the Word of God and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that they had been given themselves a revelation by the Spirit of God as to the authenticity, amen, of who Jesus really was. When they said He had Beelzebub, that was said in pretense as a way to stay in the shape they were in, as a way to shrug off the conviction, as a way to deny, amen, the work of the Holy Ghost in their life. You say, well, you're going to have to prove that. Amen, one of the most familiar chapters in all the Word of God. John chapter number 3. There is a man by the name of Nicodemus. The Bible said he's a ruler of the Pharisees. Amen. In fact, he is a leader of the crowd that showed up saying these things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's what Nicodemus said. Amen. He sneaks in by night under the cover of darkness. And here's what he says, Brother Jack. Here's what Nicodemus said. He said, Rabbi, Master, don't miss it. We, not I, we know. We know that Thou art a teacher come from God, and that no man doeth these miracles and Thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus said, we know there's something about you that's from above. We know we may not understand it. We may, and that's why Nicodemus is there. He's trying to reconcile all this in his heart. He's trying to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's trying to embrace what light has been shown into his life. And he said, we've been talking about it. Amen. We've been in conversation and we know that you are from above. Now they are turning on the light that they've been given, and their pronouncement was made in pretense. Sinners do this all the time in our very day we're living in right now. They have the Word of God preached to them, light is given to them, And then they know, they may not admit it, but they know in their heart what they are supposed to do. They know in their heart that they are sinners. They know in their heart that they must be made right with God and that Jesus is the only way. Only to make. Now listen now, you can say what you want. Hypocritical statements that go against the revelation the Holy Ghost has put in their heart already. They'll make things, statements like this, well, you know, you can't trust all the Bible says. You know good and well that is a hypocritical statement in your life. Amen. Well, you know, you can't trust everything that's in the Word of God. I don't believe all of that. That don't make sense. And in your heart, you know it makes sense. You know you're a sinner. Amen. You know your need of a Savior. Amen. And your pretense-filled statements are just a way to try to shrug off the conviction of who Jesus is in your life. Say amen. Amen. I'm telling you that you can trust the Word of God. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost reveals who Jesus is, amen, there'll be no doubt about it. You need the Lord. You need a Savior. You need somebody. Amen. And only in Him, amen, you can find that somebody, amen, who can deal with the forgiveness, the need of forgiveness of sin that's in your life. You can mock religion and you can mock old time religion. You can mock Bible preaching. You can make fun of a preacher. And I'm calling it out for what it is today. It is pretense. That is your way to try to shrug off. Amen. You don't want Jesus. You don't want the Christian life. You don't want to be a disciple. Amen. Why don't you just be honest about it? Amen. I understand what I need. I understand what I am. I understand that can only be in Jesus. I just don't want it right now. Why don't you be honest about it? Amen. This crowd running around saying there's all kinds of hypocrites in the church. Amen. You know who the biggest hypocrites are? Those that have been had delay. Those that have been given the truth. Those that may have friend know their name and began to make excuses as to why they don't want to embrace it. Amen. Boy, I feel like we're preaching in an old time way. You listen to me, the pretense of their pronouncement. Amen, the pretense. Amen, they're trying to say they are indeed saved. And Jesus in Matthew 12, the Bible said, amen, that when He encountered them, He said, why do you have these thoughts? Why do you have these thoughts? You see, it wasn't just about what they were saying. It went deeper than what they were saying. They were saying this, not just to a crowd around them, but they're saying it to themselves. You know who's in the most danger in this place today? It is the man, the woman, the young man, the young lady who is deceiving themselves. You said it to yourself, I don't have to go to Christ. I don't have to make a public pronouncement of faith. It don't matter. It doesn't really matter. I'm not interested in that. And oh, my friend, you have said it to yourself so much. Amen. That it's become a point of self-deception. Amen. Oh, I warn you as Jesus did. Amen. Be careful. You may be in danger of eternal damnation. Number two. Let me give you number two. I can do it in 5 minutes. Notice with me the parable by Christ. We see the pronouncement, but notice with me the parable by Christ. When we consider this, when we consider this text, Christ's response to such a pronouncement is to give a parable. Parables are spiritual truths communicated in earthly ways that the common man can understand. Amen. And you can understand it so long as you've not allowed your eyes to be blinded and your heart to be hardened, your mind to be reprobated. He's going to give another parable in the next chapter, the parable of the sower. Amen. And that crowd ain't going to be able to comprehend a lick of that because they are refusing what Christ is teaching to them in this text. Notice with me in this parable two things. I see the sensibility of Christ's argument. Christ just simply asked the question, how can Satan cast out Satan? Said of a kingdom be divided against itself, it can never stand. And you can't have a kingdom or a city or a house that is divided. They'll fall every time. And if I am doing what I'm doing, I have the power of Satan, then Satan is casting out Satan. And the end of all of this is going to be that Satan is going to come to an end. You know what Christ used with them? Y'all ready for this? Simple logic. He didn't give them some great theological way of looking at this, but Jerry, he just said, what you're saying don't even make sense. Amen. I will say to every sinner here, whatever you're saying about who Jesus is, it don't make a lick of sense. It doesn't make a lick of sense. Amen. He is who He says He is. Of His own authority and His own sovereignty. Amen. He is Savior and He is Lord. It just makes sense to accept that He is who He said He is. Notice the strength of Christ's authority. Verse 27. No man, here's the parable now, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man. If a man's going to break into another man's house and take all that he has, he's got to deal with the strong man. He's got to deal with the one who's in charge of all of that. And before he can take anything out of that house and make that house of his own possession, he's got to bind the strong man of that house. He said, but after the strong man is bound, then the stronger man. You see, there is a strong man today. Amen. You say, who is this first strong man? It's none other than Satan himself. Amen. As he is the strong man of the tabernacles of men's bodies and men's minds and men's lives. Amen. How that he controls. Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. Amen. And the works and the lusts of your father ye will do. Amen. You know why you're in the sinful shape you're in? Amen. Because there is a strong man. Amen. That possesses your life. I'm not talking about spooky dookie. Amen. Hollywood scenes today. Amen. I believe in demonic possession. The fact of the matter is, if you're here and you're unsaved, amen, there is a strong man that controls your life. But Christ said, if there was one that was stronger than the strong man, oh glory, if there's one that's bigger, can I put it in air, then that can all the young folk will be able to understand this. If there's one bigger and better and faster and stronger, amen, then the strong man, and he comes in and he makes the strong man sit down and he binds the strong man and he takes away his authority and his influence, and by his own power he conquers the strong man. And I say today in salvation, I'm glad I've met the stronger, strong man. Amen. I'm glad I've met the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Christ is saying? I couldn't be doing what I'm doing. By the power of the devil, he would fall. That don't even make sense. But let me tell you, I'm doing this because I am stronger than he. Can I say today, if the chains of sin are going to be broke out of your life, amen, you'll have to understand there is a stronger, strong man. Amen, you don't get them washed away in a baptismal pool. You don't find forgiveness of sin. Amen, by wine and wafers and works. Amen, you don't find it. Amen, somebody said a long time ago, amen, you don't find it by talking to a knothead behind a knot hole. Amen, there ain't no priest on earth can forgive sin. There's only one in glory. Amen, one mediator between God and men. It is the strong man, Jesus Christ.
Amen. I'm glad I know it. I'm glad I know who He is. I'm glad He came and bound the devil and broke the chains of sin in my life. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He made a difference. And by the way, can I say this morning, I ain't ashamed of it. I ain't ashamed of it. I gladly identify with Him. I gladly identify with all others that know something about the strong man. Amen. You say, I feel sorry. That old preacher, I feel sorry for that preacher. Don't you feel sorry for me? Our sins are forgiven. The power of sin has been broken. The devil no longer owns the title deed to my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of who Jesus is. I'm not ashamed of what He done for me. I gladly proclaim it everywhere. I've met the stronger, strong man. All these sinners think they're big and bad, and they don't even know they ain't even calling their own shots. You know how weak we are. You know how influenced we are. Oh, I'm glad, Miss Mary, I'm glad I met the stronger, strong man. I'm not the servant of sin any longer. Amen, I've reckoned myself, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and I'm telling you, you say, explain all that. All I can tell you, amen, Christ went to Calvary. Amen, and by His own strength and authority, He provided God's power unto salvation. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. There's a day, this 17-year-old boy, amen, who had been abused and violated, amen, was lost in sin and confused, amen, all was longing for something more. Amen, down in the recesses of my heart, I longed for more, and I was finding from the strong man of the house. The stronger, strong man, he's got good ears. He heard my cry and came to where I was. Amen. Amen. And He came into my life and into my world. He made a difference in my life. And I'm saved today. How, preacher calls, everything that Christ did is credited to my account as though I done it. Glory to God. Where is the strength of salvation? It's in an old rugged cross. Where is the authority for Christ to save sinners? It's in the blood that He shed and offered on the mercy seat. Amen. Oh, do not resist striving against that blood. My friend, recognize the faith. Amen. The Bible is true. You need a Savior. You need somebody with the strength and the power and the authority had done for you what you could never do for yourself. So I'll take care of some of that later. Amen. You better do it now. Amen. That's what Jesus is telling them. He's not saying you've committed a sin that had never forgiveness yet. And what He's saying is every time you have truth, every time you hear salvation's plan, every time the Holy Ghost comes by and says, that's right, that's right, that's right. And you say, no, not today, no, not today. Amen. Christ is saying you're getting ever closer to the precipice, crossing a line whereby you enter into a sin that hath never forgiveness. Am I preaching it right? Believe I'm preaching it right. I'll never enter that. There's a day He came by and I said yes. There's a day He knocked on the door and I said, come in. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Thank God for the day I said yes. Thank God for the day when Preacher Wells said, is there anybody here that would like to experience the power of God? And you said, I do. You were saying, I'm ready for the stronger, strong man. You know, do you know that power? Do you know the strength of the strong man? Do you know what it's... Hey, man, I feel like just running. I feel like running. I ain't felt like running. It's bad in a long time. Sam, I'm asking today, is there anybody here that knows what it's like to have the stronger strong man lift the burden of sin? Do you know what it's like? Amen. For him to move in. And you know what it's like when he breaks those chains and he does an eternal work in your life. And you know what that is. Oh, do you know what that is? I'm begging you, don't wait too late. I'm begging you, don't wait too late. I'm begging you, don't wait too late. Don't go another step. Don't go another day. Don't walk another mile. You could be in danger today.
Right.
Crossing the line whereby you've sinned away your day of grace.
Right.
I'm telling you, He offers grace. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, He offers you the power that's in His blood. He offers you today that eternal way, that only way. Amen. That way that is only, amen, found in Himself. He offers that today. Do you know something about it? Or do you just think, oh, Jesus, that Jesus stuff, that Jesus stuff, that preaching stuff, that Bible stuff. Hey, man, you think it's silly. You won't think it's silly. Hey, man, when your soul's burning in the charred walls of the damned, you won't think it's funny, man. Friend, you're in that place with the devil and his angels and the sodomites and the murderers and the rapists and the liars and the thieves and that crowd that has constantly rejected Christ. You won't think it's silly then.
Right.
You'll beg for one more opportunity. You'll beg God, God, please let me have one more chance. Jesus said it is eternal damnation.
Amen.
Goes on and on and on and on. You can try and play games and get in this thing. Amen. Some little secret way. There are no secret doors and entries into the family of God.
Amen.
There ain't no listen. There ain't no me and God's got an understanding kind of thing. You can mock this. You can go home. You can laugh me to scorn. Amen. You can stand at the door and call me all kinds of names. I'm telling you, Jesus was right. And He said, hey man, you need somebody to bind the strong man. Now I'm able to bind him, and I'm able to give you forgiveness for all sin.
Yes, sir.
But you gotta confess it. You gotta ask Him. You gotta come to Him. Hallelujah. The sin that hath never forgiveness. The sin that hath never forgiveness. The sin you realize when you die without Christ, it is too late. You'll never have forgiveness. The rich man that died and in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. Never had another opportunity. Never even asked for another opportunity. You know why? Because people in hell know their fate is sealed. They know they've rejected the truth. They know they've got what they deserve. Today, the fact of the matter is, today is the day of salvation. The Word of God said, now is the accepted time. There's no need, there's no reason to leave here in the shape that you're in. Hey man, oh, I'm telling you, the best day of my life was as a 17-year-old boy, having just started my senior year of high school. Hey man, I was on the soccer team. I was on the basketball team. Hey man, my friend had my life headed my way. Hey man, I was going to do my own thing. I'm glad the stronger, strong man showed up and showed me what I needed and told me what I was and showed me, hallelujah, He can make the difference in my life. And He did. He did, hallelujah, He did. I'm not the man I ought to be a lot of days. I'll never be the man I used to be. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the man I'm going to be. Amen. There's a day we sung about it. What a day that'll be. Coming today, I'm going to be everything. I'm going to be everything He saved me to be. Glory to God. Amen. The sin that hath... Listen to the strength behind this word. Never. That's a strong word. Bob, that's a strong word. I tried to quit. I tried to quit 20 minutes ago and I'm still going. Amen. Do you understand how strong a word, Brother Larry, never is? Amen. Never! Never! Preacher, I'll deal with it later on down the road. I'll get it right on my own time. You won't get it right if the Holy Ghost ain't dealing with you.
Amen.
I don't care how many tears you cry, and I don't care how sincere you get. Amen. There ain't no sinner getting saved. Amen. That my friend, the Holy Ghost ain't doing the drawing, and the Spirit of God ain't the one doing the calling, and the Spirit of God ain't the one that's at work. Amen. You say, oh, I just can't wait to get out of here. Amen. I wish that preacher stopped. I'd feel better. Amen. Do you understand? It ain't a preacher that's bothering you. Amen. It ain't my voice. It ain't my stomping and smacking it and snotting and sweating that's bothering you. Amen. It's called the Holy Ghost of God. And the Word of God said today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart.
Hey.
Harden your heart, amen, to the truth. Don't willfully blind yourself to the light that He's shining to you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel the power of God today, Brother Gerald. I feel the power of God in this place today. I feel the power of God moving. Do you know that you're saved? You ever had the stronger strong man step into your life? I'll finish tonight if the Lord will help me. We want to deal with the precaution of Christ. Christ sends a warning out after all they had pronounced, after the parable He'd give. Brother Larry gives them a precaution. He says, in an essence, what He's saying is, you better be careful. You better be careful. You better watch it. It says you're in danger. Danger. What's He saying? He's saying there's danger ahead. You've not yet reached the cliff and the line and the precipice. He gives them a precaution and says you better beware because you're closer than you think to a line by which no man comes back from. I'll show you how that works out in the text tonight as we deal with, again, the sin that had never forgiveness. Amen.